we go with the 4 o'clock hour. Welcome back into Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. He'll rejoin us shortly for our Big Five. At the bottom of this hour, coming up on a little Chris versus the fans, where Scraby asked me a bunch of questions. If I get them wrong and you get them right, you got a chance to go to Las Vegas. In fact, you could qualify for a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Two tickets to Kool and the Gang. They're back by popular demand after multiple sold-out shows. The legendary funk group Kool and the Gang returns to the stage at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. The residency runs through 2024. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. They do celebrate? I think they did. You know, celebrate good times. Yeah,
that's Kool and the Gang. Is it?
Uh-huh.
Let me see.
Pretty sure. Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun. Are we giving away these other tickets as well?
We are. Wow. And you're right, by the way.
Yeah, that is Kool and the Gang. Eric Clapton, the all-time great guitar player and singer. You win a Hall of Famer, Eric Clapton. You get a pair of tickets to see his concert at Pechanga Arena on October the 8th. Tickets don't go on sale until this Friday at 10 a.m. on AXS.com. That's AXS.com. So you can get Clapton tickets before they even go on sale.
Yes, that's right.
If you win Chris versus the fans, I have one question for you, Scraby, before we start.
What's that?
Who is Ronel Blanco?
He threw a no-hitter last night.
Very good.
A start.
That's right.
Boom!
Was it his second start ever?
Eighth, I think.
Oh, eighth.
I think it was the eighth.
I had never heard of him. Until he,
I haven't heard of him either.
Until he made some history last night. Good for him, Ronel Blanco.
Is the no-hitter, we don't have time for this right now, but is the no-hitter not as cool anymore?
It's still cool, but it does just seem so arbitrary.
Because it happens
a lot. Guys
like
Ronel Blanco throw no-hitters, but Yu Darvish doesn't.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, no Padre pitcher is ever going to throw another no-hitter.
Has Justin Verlander ever thrown a no-hitter?
I think he's thrown a few. He's thrown three.
Wow,
I was going to say, I don't think any Padre pitcher will ever throw a no-hitter because they never let him complete a game.
That's true, but we do have our one no-hitter.
Thank goodness for that.
No Joe.
Thank goodness for that. All right, let's play some ball here.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
You are also right on that, Chris.
What's that?
Justin Verlander having three no-hitters to his name.
Yeah, pretty good.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about when I think no-hitter. I think legendary names like that.
Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
Sandy Koufax.
Yeah.
Nolan Ryan had... Do you know how many Nolan Ryan had?
I think he had... Did he have... Wait. He had seven?
Seven!
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I think that record will hold up for a while.
His Netflix documentary, I can't remember what it's called, but it is really good.
Nolan Ryan had some insane record where he had a quality start or better 150 times or something in his career that he did not get the win.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it was just an inordinate number.
But he never won a Cy Young, right?
I don't think so. He never had a good... That really never had a good record. He just had a lot of strikeouts.
See, that is where wrong.
But he was impossible to hit. But teams would always be able to cobble together a couple of runs against him and beat him. Tony Gwynn Sr., tell you, that was the guy he couldn't hit at all.
Yeah, he didn't like facing him.
No, nobody did.
From what we hear.
From what we heard, yeah, Tony was pretty adamant about that. All right, let's go to our game here.
Yeah, you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And Chris vs. the Fans is brought to you by Good Guys. 23rd McGuire's Del Mar Nationals, April 5th through the 7th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. To register your vehicle or purchase tickets, visit www.good-guys.com/DMN. And we are now going to get into the game. Let's go. I don't know if we've ever talked to this person. Oh, if you're a first-time player, let us know before we get into it and you get the first question.
By the way, before
today.
I finish this, I just looked it up. Tony Gwynn against Nolan Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Hated him so much that he only hit 302 against him in his career.
That's garbage. Just garbage.
That's how tough Nolan Ryan was on Tony Gwynn.
Oh, man.
He hated him. He couldn't stand to face him. He only hit 302 against
that
him.
That is crazy.
That's so funny.
All right, Lance, you are up. How are you today?
Hi, Lance.
Hi, I'm doing well.
Good to have you on the board here.
Are you ready?
On the board.
I'm ready.
Or on board.
On board. Here we go. Question number one. What number does Caitlin Clark wear?
I believe she is 22.
Nice Winner. Job. Nice job.
Did you watch the game last night, Lance, at all?
I was at dinner for my wife's birthday, and so it was on in the background at the restaurant. So
very good that you took the wife out.
Why didn't you tell your wife you wanted to watch the game
instead?
Yeah,
you should have said, sorry, it's your birthday, honey, but everybody's watching this basketball game.
Yeah, I got to go.
Yeah, that would have gone over
last
well.
Last year, it was the Aztecs buzzer beater.
Oh, man, you've had a lot of your wife's birthday is right during March Madness.
Yeah, like a landmine zone right
well,
there.
Well, Lance is he's doing the right thing.
He
You're
is.
Doing the right thing.
He is. I was just joking about saying you wanted to watch the game. All right, here we go, Lance. Question number two. All right. The Dodgers and the Padres lead baseball with 47 runs scored this season. What National League team is second with 39 runs scored this season?
I will guess the Diamondbacks.
The Diamondbacks. It's a good guess.
It's not the Diamondbacks.
No.
They got 14 in one inning.
They did.
Who has 31?
39. Stay there, Lance.
Braves?
Bravos.
Got to be the Braves.
Good answer.
Thank you.
Wrong! That was great.
Lance, you should see the look on his face. He is so happy when they get one wrong.
I was.
He loves it.
If you've never watched Chris vs. the Fans on YouTube, go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan next time and watch how happy
I get. And then when I get one right, he's so deflated.
Answer, Lance was onto it. Diamondbacks were fourth, but the third team is the Pirates.
Oh,
they
Pirates.
Have 39
wow.
runs.
Really?
They're undefeated.
Well, I know that. I just didn't know they'd scored as many runs as the Braves. Seems like the Braves always get 10
Let me see where the Braves
game.
Are. I still have it up. The Braves are, they're tied with the Diamondbacks for 34.
Good. Okay.
All right, here
Lance,
we go.
You go to the finals.
Question number three for the Eric Clapton tickets and a qualification to Las Vegas. There are two active pitchers right now with over 400 saves each. Name both of them. What's that?
Oh.
Name and logo.
Scrabby, you're such a
Kenley
guy.
Jansen and Craig Kimbrell.
Wow! Did he get it?
That's incredible.
Hang on.
Chris is giving you a standing ovation.
Standing ovation for that.
I gotta get. You know what?
Get
hold
up.
Hold on.
Get up.
I'm giving you a standing ovation
Let
for that
go.
Too.
Lance, that Woo! Was impressive.
That was impressive.
Not only that.
All right, stay there, Lance. I gotta get your information. In
so
a couple
often
minutes.
When people get those, you know, it's like the 20-minute delay, and you wonder whether they looked it up. Lance just went right with his gut.
Right
you know?
With it.
Just right with his gut.
That was
very good.
Some
Lance.
Of the, although you did get question number two wrong, you did name a team that was high up, so I'll give you that.
No,
that was some of the best playing we've ever had, because I didn't think anyone was going to get that. Would you have gotten that last one? Possibly.
I would have had to think it through. I couldn't have just, like, gotten it.
Can you name the third?
Oh, now you're going to put him under the gun.
No, can you name the third closer? Okay, so those two guys are over 400. Only guys that are active with over 400 saves each. There's one other guy who's active, but he only has over 300 saves. Do you know who it is?
God. You know what, Lance? You don't have to answer that.
Oh, no, it's not you. I was asking you.
Oh, you're asking me that?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
It is Aroldis Chapman.
I don't feel like looking it up
Aroldis
or thinking
Chapman.
About it.
Aroldis so. Chapman.
Good. All right, very good, Lance. Stay on the line. You're a deserving winner of Chris vs. the Fans.
Absolutely
today.
Are.
Could be on your way to Las Vegas.
You know, Chris,
sometime
I have
soon. You will be on your way to Eric Clapton.
That's true.
Which is a nice prize to get. Felt a whole lot better about Eric Clapton until Scraby told me the saddest story I've ever heard yesterday.
I thought you knew.
About that song he wrote.
Tears in Heaven.
Oh, my God.
I actually listened to it last night again, and I was like, man, this is a sad song.
Probably had tears coming down your...
Well, I thought about Lucky, and I thought about stuff like that, and I was like, Lucky? And
I didn't realize how sad that song was until you told me how sad it really was.
We need to go to break because we have a lot going on this hour, Chris.
All right, we're
going to
take a break. When we come back... It was the most highly anticipated basketball game we have seen in a long time, and it delivered on that anticipation. We'll explain when Gwen and Chris continues after a check of traffic. All right, Lance came through big time there. Got the Chris versus the fans victory with a really nice get on the two 400 save guys in Major League Baseball. Real good, Lance. Kenley Jansen and Craig Kimbrell. Can't believe Kimbrell's still going out there.
I saw him today.
And I'm a little surprised that the Orioles picked him up. Like, I know they lost their closer.
Oh, yes. I can't remember his name.
I know, but he was really good.
He got hurt at the end of last year.
Yeah. But I don't know. We'll see if Kimbrell's the answer. I asked Lance. It's Gwen and Chris, by the way, at 418. Tony rejoins at the bottom of the hour for the Big Five.
I got a doozy of a Big Five.
Good.
You guys need to prepare with more time. Okay, go ahead.
I'm not preparing.
Okay.
Don't care if it's a doozy or not.
Okay.
Last night's game between LSU and Iowa, that was supposed to be a doozy.
Yes.
And nobody wanted to miss it. It was expected to be one of the most watched games in women's college basketball history.
We watched the pregame of it.
It did not disappoint.
Nope.
12.3 million viewers last night, say the ratings. How many is 12.3 million, you ask? First of all, it's more than any women's college basketball game ever. It's more than any game of last year's NBA Finals. It's more than any game of last year's World Series.
Whoa.
This is an Elite Eight women's college basketball game, more than any World Series game from last year, more than any Thursday night football game played last year. Granted, well, those are streamed.
People can't find
it. I'm just saying. And more, this is the best one, more than any college football regular season game played this past season.
Wow.
Except for Ohio State, Michigan.
Wow, that's
it.
That's
beat
incredible.
Out every college football game played last season, every game except one.
That's incredible.
You know, congratulations to women's basketball. Now, I will say that I think women's basketball, a general comment here, but probably has more women viewers than a lot of those other events that I just mentioned.
Okay,
the World Series, etc.
Maybe,
but anytime you're in that kind of company, come on. That's big things. So
that is big things.
Congratulations.
Did you
to those teams? I watched the game. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I was a little upset that it, you know, LSU kind of went cold there for a while and fell behind. I wanted it to be a little closer game just to be, you know, a little more memorable.
Yeah.
But you know, Caitlin Clark was
she made it memorable.
Oh, my goodness. 41, 12 assists. That's the part that got me. I mean, I already know she could shoot like crazy. But her passing was the thing that really was impressive. I wonder how many people will watch Friday night when they play UConn. I think it'll be another pretty big crowd.
I don't know that it will be as big, but it probably will be big because Caitlin Clark carries the audience.
She's going to be in the game Friday night. She's playing again against UConn.
Taps has an interesting point. I'm curious to see what San Diego's share was for the ratings. I believe 100% a WNBA team would thrive here.
Potentially.
B-Free says, let's get more women out to watch the SDSU women's team.
I'll hear here to that.
Yes, you'll hear here to
I'll
that.
I'll hear here to that. I
Chris
got room
around them all the time.
I have room. You can come on out and enjoy the games with me.
I mean, yeah. They played in the Mountain West Championship.
They did. They made it all the way. They had a great season.
Did you mention the betting?
I didn't mention that. Go ahead. What do you have on the sports books? It was the most bet on game ever also.
Well, it was, sports books for FanDuel. They said it was the most bet game in FanDuel's history for a women's sports.
Women's game or any game?
For women's games. It was the biggest betting event all time for women's sports, according to FanDuel.
And in the last week, according to ESPN, in the last week, it drew more bets than any NHL game, Major League Baseball game, or NBA game.
Wow. That's really incredible, I gotta say. It also, you know, when we start talking about this, Chris, it does make me think that we shouldn't be betting on college sports because it's an amateur. Well, I guess it's not really amateur
not
race
too much anymore, but I know what you're saying. Look, we've already seen some of the problems crop up in the gambling world recently.
Caitlin Clark is gonna be fine, but FanDuel's making more money than they have ever made on a women's basketball game.
Yeah, what about the backup point guard for LSU?
Yeah, I don't think she's making
$5 million. Making that kind of money, and she could have an effect on the outcome of that game.
She could.
A big effect.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
One other thing from the UConn-USC game, by the way, last night. Juju Watkins of USC scored 29 points in defeat. She set the all-time record for most points ever scored by a freshman in one season. She broke the record of a young lady named Tina Hutchinson, who played in the mid-80s at San Diego State.
Oh, wow, there you go.
I did her games as the public address announcer.
Really?
When I was going to school at San Diego State in the mid-80s.
So it sounded like Chris Ello here on the call. Basket by Tina Hutchinson.
It was a long time ago, though, right?
Yes, it is.
It was almost 40 years ago that Tina Hutchinson broke these records and set that record, and it lasted for four decades. And I remember Tina Hutchinson. She played, obviously, for the Aztecs, and people kind of forgot about her. She played only 2 years. And then injuries took their toll. But she was just like 20 years ahead of her time. She was so good and athletic for the women's game. And they got to the Sweet 16 with her on the roster. They didn't go any further. But it was kind of cool to see Tina Hutchinson's name pop up on the screen last night.
Yeah, that is cool. I feel bad for some of those old-time players that, like, never will get any sort of recognition that they deserve.
Bob Ryan had an interesting comment today, the great columnist for the Boston Globe. He said, you know, we're talking about women's basketball right now. He said, I've talked about it more in the last week than I have in 50 years combined. He said, but honestly, if you look back on women's basketball, Lisa Leslie, I don't know, Tarazi's still playing, but you can go back.
Rebecca Lobo.
You can go back and you can find some amazingly good women's players in the 80s and 90s. Don Staley was one, actually, before becoming a coach. But so many great players then that nobody gave any attention or credit to. You know, now these young ladies are, you know, reaping some of the rewards of the groundwork set by their predecessors.
I will say, branching off of what Bob Ryan said about how he's talked more women's college basketball in the last week than he has in 50 years.
Yeah.
We've talked more women's college basketball than I've ever talked in my life.
Of course.
And I don't feel like we're talking about it to force it. I feel like we're talking about it because we're genuinely interested about it.
Well, not only that, it's what people are talking about.
True. It's the water cooler talk.
My buddy Scott, who I play golf with on Tuesdays, first thing he said, I watched the games last night. What'd you think? I don't believe he's ever asked me that before.
that's huge. It's huge.
So
Tap says, the same night that you called her games, War of the Worlds aired. So. Thank you, Tap.
Do you even know what that is, War
yes.
of the Worlds? Do you know the old Orson Welles spoof?
That's maybe one of the most brilliant things that's ever happened in American history, I'll say. Because
if you don't know the story of War of the Worlds, look it up.
Say like 1930s. It's not the Tom Cruise movie.
No, it's a 1930s radio bit. And
people thought it was real.
People thought it was real. And not only did people think it was real, but the Orson Welles was the one who put it all together. It was a radio theater production.
Yeah, the aliens had landed.
That aliens had landed in, I believe, the Los Angeles area. And people in Los Angeles freaked right out.
People died.
Running through the streets.
Yes.
I mean, just scared to death. Despite the fact that every 15 minutes on the broadcast, they said, this is only a play. This is not real life. People
didn't work.
They didn't want to hear that.
No.
They only heard the actual show.
Because it's brilliant.
Oh, it is.
I mean,
brilliant.
It's not like brilliant because people like started killing each other and it was bad.
Yeah. But look up, if you don't know anything about that, it's an incredible piece of American history. War of the Worlds.
I know we got a 13 or 14 year old listener. That comes in the chat every once in a while. I think his name is David.
Okay.
David, I know you're one of those people listening, go look up War of the Worlds from the early 1900s.
Okay. We got to get to the big five. So let's take a quick break. Gwen and Chris comes back. Much, much more still ahead, leading toward Padres Cardinals later on.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. I wish we could just, like, fast forward time into game 60 or something. I don't like the early game part of the MLB season because I overreact to everything far too much. And so I'm overreacting, guys. I'm feeling a little weird about this team. I'm feeling a little bit of shades of last year. I'm feeling a little bit of anxiety bubbling to the surface.
Yeah.
And I have a question for you.
Number five.
What you got?
Chris is going to love. Tony's going to be up first, though.
All right.
Last year, we started off the year as we all know we did. And we're like, hey, once they gel, water is going to find its level at some point, everybody. And then we said, well, they're still gelling. And then they were still gelling, and then we know what happened with 2023. This year, we didn't want to do that again. Tony, do we need to be patient as this team gels? Do we need to be patient as this team gels?
I don't even need to see Tony's reaction.
I don't even know how to, like, really answer this question without laughing.
You can laugh at me.
I just think that we just got to let the season kind of unfold a little bit more before we start, you know, feeling any type of way. Let's just watch baseball for, I don't know, at least, I know I'm asking a lot, but like, for like a month? If you can't do a month or two, let's do 3 weeks.
This is
he
why
can't
I'm
do it.
This is why I'm asking this question. You guys are like
he
my
can't
therapist.
Do it. He was already buying World Series tickets last Friday after they were 2-1.
It was just really nice to see them come back and
win
a game.
It was like 4 days ago.
I know, Chris. But then they lost they lost two to the Giants, and then now they are.
Yeah, they've lost 3 out of 4.
Yeah,
that's time to fire the manager.
No, I didn't say that. I think you guys know me enough by now that I'm not fire the manager yet.
Not yet.
Let's just let the baseball games be played for a little bit.
All right, Chris, do we need to be patient as this team gels?
Well, I don't know why it would be any different with this team as opposed to any other team. But, I mean, I'll just give you an idea how absurd it is to overreact to their record right now. If you're going to overreact to their record, then we're all getting ready for a Pirates-Tigers World Series this year because both teams are undefeated.
Good point.
And I don't think anybody's planning on a Pirates-Tigers World Series this year. I mean, almost every team in baseball, save probably the A's and most likely save the Rockies, is going to win 5 in a row at one point. And that's what the Pirates have done right now. And so, you know, it's a nice start and it's a good story, but, you know, you have to let a little more baseball be played before you crown them as champions. And I know you agree with that.
Yeah.
So if you agree with that, then you should agree with the fact that every team in baseball dozens of times this year is going to lose 3 out of 4 games. dozens of times. It's going to happen often. So, you know, the last few games, obviously they haven't had the kind of pitching that they're going to need to be successful. And, you know, you fall behind 3-4 runs early in ball games like that. You know, it's difficult. And, you know, they haven't pitched well yet. But no. 7 games is unfortunately not enough. Not even, honestly, to be on, be crazy to say this, Scraby, but even 70 games isn't enough.
I can't do 70.
No,
so
sure. I can't do you're it. Asking too much.
Yeah,
now.
I know.
You're going
it.
Too far.
I know, but I'm trying to get him to understand that 7 is absurd.
I put my integrity on the line last year for like 130 games.
The Washington Nationals were in like last place with about a month and a half to go in the 2019 season. You know, not last, but they were way under 500. Yeah. They ended up winning the World Series. I'm not saying that that means this Padre team is a World Series team. But before we, you know, break the bank to bring in Tommy Pham or Brandon Belt and give up on everything that we're trying to do, you have to see a whole lot more baseball than this. Yeah. Sorry.
Tony, anything else to add?
Yeah, man.
He does.
70 games is probably still not enough.
I know.
I know we're asking way too much from not just you, Scraby. I think there are a lot of people who are much like you who are already, you know, planning the funeral.
I am not planning the funeral. All right. Whatever.
Now, 3 out of 4 is just disgraceful.
Well, you know, when water finds its level, everybody.
You know, it's funny. They won like 14 of their last 16 games. The water was starting to creep up last year.
It did not.
But it just happened too
level.
Late. It just happened too late.
They ran out of games.
Yes, that's right.
They ran out of games. Number 4.
Major League Baseball Players Association Executive Director Tony Clark received more than $4.25 million in compensation in 2023 with a $3.25 million salary and a $1 million bonus, nearly doubling his total the previous year, according to financial reports released on Monday. The revelation of his salary, which was $2.25 million in 2022, comes in the wake of an uprising at the union in which attorney Harry Reno attempted to garner support from players to replace the union's deputy executive director Bruce Meyer. And when I was trying to figure out what to ask about this, I came to this. Chris, does this really matter to baseball fans?
No, not even in the least. I would think some people think that Tony Clark makes too much money, but they're the same people that think that baseball players make too much money. And they're the same people that forget that owners make way more money than all of them put together. So if Tony Clark was able to get $4.5 million out of the pockets of these rich owners, good for him.
What does Rob Manfred make? A lot more than that, I'm thinking.
A ton more. You know, I mean, he's representing these guys, and I mean, it's a great position to be in, but salaries are continuing to skyrocket, and the owners and everybody should be happy in baseball. Revenues are, you know, skyrocketing around the sport. The value of these teams continues to go through the roof. You know, there's enough for everybody, but as far as whether or not, I don't even know who, what'd you say his name was? Bruce Meyer?
Bruce Meyer was
I don't even know what he did, so.
He was the union's deputy executive
director. He was a negotiator.
But negotiator.
My point being that if I didn't know what he does, I doubt too many fans know or care what he does, so, yeah. You know, it's good for Tony Clark. He's a San Diego guy. I'm happy when anybody can draw a bunch of money away from the owners, because they get too much.
His job is not easy either.
Probably not. It's probably as difficult, if not more so, than Rob Manfred's.
Yeah. Rob Manfred just gets drunk and presents trophies.
Rob Manfred's got to represent 30 owners, right? Tony Clark's got to represent 600-700 players.
Good point, Chris.
That's a lot of people to be responsible for.
Yeah.
Tony, does this really matter to baseball fans?
No. It doesn't matter to baseball fans at all. It is an interesting thing, though, as a former player, reading some of this stuff and what's going down and like the feel it gives you. It was noted that the uprise happened, and then it got quickly fell apart as more and more players, when it got time to actually voting on that kind of stuff, it's like, nah, man, you're 30 something years old. I don't know if you know much enough about this. But no, I don't think the baseball fans really care. Just make sure the baseball's on the field and the turnstiles are open for us to come through. That's all they care about.
It's true. Number 3.
I'm going to ask you guys a tough question on this one. Caitlin Clark dropped 41 points on LSU, and the Hawkeyes are moving on to the women's Final Four. But on Undisputed this morning, Paul Pierce, I'm trying to cue up the video. Paul Pierce said this.
It's beyond that, Key. I'm going to just keep it 100 with you. We saw a white girl in Iowa do it to a bunch of black girls. Mm-hmm. Well, of course. That made it like, oh, that gained my respect. That gained my respect.
I hear you.
You're like, right. That's like, oh, she didn't do this to some other little white girls that was over here in Colorado, wherever. She did it to some girls from LSU, who we thought were some dogs.
Defending champs,
and put them on her knee and spanked them.
Spanked him.
And so that, and then, no. I know, but I didn't expect that.
All right, so there you go, Paul Pierce. Does anybody else catch Skip Bayless going, yeah, like just being the hype guy? Anyway, as you can imagine, this has caused a few feelings around parts of this country. Tony, how do you feel about what Paul Pierce said?
I don't know that it's accurate. I mean, I don't know. And maybe it's just me. When I watched that basketball game, I wasn't seeing, you know, obviously Caitlin Clark was just bombing threes from literally all over the court. She was being guarded by Haley Van Lathan, who was, you know, white most of the game. That's not what I was paying attention to. The irony in this is that when the Lakers and Celtics used to play, part of the reason I think Larry Bird was given so much love from everybody, black, white, whatever, was because he was.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. I wish we could just, like, fast forward time into game 60 or something. I don't like the early game part of the MLB season because I overreact to everything far too much. And so I'm overreacting, guys. I'm feeling a little weird about this team. I'm feeling a little bit of shades of last year. I'm feeling a little bit of anxiety bubbling to the surface.
Yeah.
And I have a question for you.
Number five.
What you got?
Chris is going to love. Tony's going to be up first, though.
All right.
Last year, we started off the year as we all know we did. And we're like, hey, once they gel, water is going to find its level at some point, everybody. And then we said, well, they're still gelling. And then they were still gelling, and then we know what happened with 2023. This year, we didn't want to do that again. Tony, do we need to be patient as this team gels? Oh, wait, hold on. Do we need to be patient as this team gels?
I don't even need to see Tony's reaction.
I don't even know how to, like, really answer this question without laughing.
You didn't laugh at me.
I just think that we just got to let the season kind of unfold a little bit more before we start, you know, feeling any type of way. Let's just watch baseball for, I don't know, at least, I know I'm asking a lot, but like, for like a month? If you can't do a month, let's do 3 weeks.
This is why I'm do it. This is why I'm asking this question. You guys are like
he
my
can't
therapist.
Do it. He was already buying World Series tickets last Friday after they were 2-1.
It was just really nice to see them come back and
win
a game.
It was like 4 days ago.
I know, Chris. But then they lost two to the Giants, and then now they are.
Yeah, they've lost 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's time to fire the manager.
No, I didn't say that. I think you guys know me enough by now that I'm not fire the manager yet.
Not yet.
Let's just let the baseball games be played for a little bit.
All right, Chris, do we need to be patient as this team gels?
Well, I don't know why it would be any different with this team as opposed to any other team. But, I mean, I'll just give you an idea how absurd it is to overreact to their record right now. If you're going to overreact to their record, then we're all getting ready for a Pirates-Tigers World Series this year because both teams are undefeated.
Good point.
And I don't think anybody's planning on a Pirates-Tigers World Series this year. I mean, almost every team in baseball, save probably the A's and most likely save the Rockies, is going to win five in a row at one point. And that's what the Pirates have done right now. And so, you know, it's a nice start and it's a good story, but... You know, you have to let a little more baseball be played before you crown them as champions, and I know you agree with that.
Yeah.
So if you agree with that, then you should agree with the fact that every team in baseball dozens of times this year is going to lose three out of four games. Dozens of times. It's going to happen often. So, you know, the last few games, obviously they haven't had the kind of pitching that they're going to need to be successful. And, you know, you fall behind three, four runs early in ball games like that. You know, it's difficult. And, you know, they haven't pitched well yet. But no. Seven games is unfortunately not enough. Not even, honestly, to be crazy to say this, Scraby, but even 70 games isn't enough.
I can't do 70 this year.
You're asking too much.
I know, but I'm trying to get him to understand that seven is absurd.
I put my integrity on the line last year for like 130 games.
The Washington Nationals were in like last place with about a month and a half to go in the 2019 season. You know, not last, but they were way under 500. Yeah. They ended up winning the World Series. I'm not saying that that means this Padre team is a World Series team. But before we, you know, break the bank to bring in Tommy Pham or Brandon Belt and give up on everything that we're trying to do, you have to see a whole lot more baseball than this. Yeah. Sorry.
Tony, anything else to add?
Yeah, man.
He does.
70 games is probably still not enough.
I know.
I know we're asking way too much. But not just you, Scraby. I think there are a lot of people who are much like you who are already... You know, planning the funeral.
I am not planning the funeral. All right, whatever.
Three out of four is just disgraceful.
Well, you know, when water finds its level, everybody.
You know, it's funny. They won like 14 of their last 16 games. The water was starting to creep up last year.
It just happened too late.
Ran out of games.
They ran out of games.
Number four.
Major League Baseball Players Association Executive Director Tony Clark received more than $4.25 million in compensation in 2023 with a $3.25 million salary and $1 million bonus, nearly doubling his total the previous year, according to financial reports released on Monday. The revelation of his salary, which was $2.25 million in 2022, comes in the wake of an uprising at the union in which attorney Harry Reno attempted to garner support from players to replace the union's deputy executive director Bruce Meyer. And when I was trying to figure out what to ask about this, I came to this. Chris, does this really matter to baseball fans?
No, not even in the least. I would think some people think that Tony Clark makes too much money, but they're the same people that think that baseball players make too much money. And they're the same people that forget that owners make way more money than all of them put together. So if Tony Clark was able to get $4.5 million out of the pockets of these rich owners, good for him.
What does Rob Manfred make? A lot more than that, I'm thinking.
A ton more. You know, I mean, he's representing these guys, and I mean, it's a great position to be in, but salaries are continuing to skyrocket, and the owners and everybody should be happy in baseball. Revenues are, you know, skyrocketing around the sport. The value of these teams continues to go through the roof. You know, there's enough for everybody, but as far as whether or not, I don't even know who, what'd you say his name was? Bruce Meyer?
Bruce Meyer was
I don't even know what he did, so.
He was the union's deputy executive
director. He was a negotiator.
Negotiator. My point being that if I didn't know what he does, I doubt too many fans know or care what he does. So, yeah. You know, it's good for Tony Clark. He's a San Diego guy. I'm happy when anybody can draw a bunch of money away from the owners because they get too much.
His job is not easy either.
Probably not. It's probably as difficult, if not more so, than Rob Manfred's.
Yeah. Rob Manfred just gets drunk and presents trophies.
Rob Manfred's got to represent 30 owners, right? Tony Clark's got to represent 600-700 players.
Good point, Chris.
That's a lot of people to be responsible for.
Yeah.
Tony, does this really matter to baseball fans?
No.
It doesn't matter to baseball fans at all. It is an interesting thing, though, as a former player, reading some of this stuff and what's going down and like, the feel it gives you. It was noted that the uprise happened, and then it got quickly was fell apart as more and more players, when it got time to actually voting on that kind of stuff, it's like, nah, man, you're 30-something years old. I don't know if you know much enough about this. But no, I don't think the baseball fans really care. Just make sure the baseball's on the field and the turnstiles are open for us to come through. That's all they care about.
It's true. Number three.
I'm going to ask you guys a tough question on this one. Caitlin Clark dropped 41 points on LSU, and the Hawkeyes are moving on to the women's Final Four. But on Undisputed this morning, Paul Pierce, I'm trying to cue up the video. Paul Pierce said this.
It's beyond that, Key. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to just keep it 100 with you. We saw a white girl in Iowa do it to a bunch of black girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
That made it like, oh. That gained my respect.
I hear you.
You're like, right. That's like, oh, she didn't do this to some other little white girls that was over here in Colorado, wherever. She did it to some girls from LSU, who we thought were some dogs.
Defending champs,
and put them on her knee and spanked them.
Spanked them.
And so that, and then, no. I know, but I didn't expect that.
All right, so there you go, Paul Pierce. Does anybody else catch Skip Bayless going, like just being the hype guy? Anyway, as you can imagine, this has caused a few feelings around parts of this country. Tony, how do you feel about what Paul Pierce said?
I don't know that it's accurate. I mean, I don't know, and maybe it's just me. It when I watched that basketball game, I wasn't seeing, you know, obviously Caitlin Clark was just bombing threes from literally all over the court. She was being guarded by Haley Van Lathan, who was, you know, white most of the game. That's not what I was paying attention to. The irony in this is that when the Lakers and Celtics used to play, part of the reason I think Larry Bird was given so much love from everybody, black, white, whatever, was because he was doing it against brothers, basically. And he was really the only one. The thing is, that's not what I'm looking at right now or yesterday when I watched that game. It was two really good teams, well matched, a rematch of last year's finals. But I didn't see it that way. But I would be crazy to think that is not what some people are seeing, though. I think we're trying to fool ourselves if we believe that that's how everybody viewed it. The reality is Paul is saying something on the type of show where those type of things get said because people like us will talk about it on our show. That's what drives it. He had to come up with something original to say about that particular game. Everything else has pretty much been said about it. But I can see why that made people uncomfortable, for sure.
Chris, how do you feel about what Paul Pierce said?
I feel crappy about what Paul Pierce said.
Really?
Yeah, I do. We talked about this, you and I, yesterday, going into this game. And this is exactly what's wrong with the media that's covering sports right now, is that they're latching onto this kind of stuff. I mean, stories of, you know, good versus evil, white versus black, you know, class versus, you know, players that are, you know, spouting off all the time. I mean, you know, we can't look at this as just a basketball game between Iowa and LSU, and it's really a shame. And I know that Paul Pierce has to come up with something different to say, but it doesn't mean he has to come up with something that is totally misguided and misplaced. And to me, it's just fueling the, whether you want to say misogynistic, racist feel that goes along with some of these basketball games. But I just think it leads us down the wrong path. And for Skip Bayless, who's always an idiot as far as I'm concerned, to basically be sitting there nodding his head and say, yeah, you go, Paul, you go, basically just shows how, you know, off, you know, beat this guy is and where he's coming from. You know, Caitlin Clark, unfortunately, you know, I wish she could just be a basketball player. I do. What Tony says about Larry Bird is true, but Larry Bird also played in the 1980s. We're in the 2020s now. I would like to think we can start moving beyond this. I know we probably never will get there fully, but it's unfortunate that this has to come up and we can't just appreciate a great performance.
Did you see, by the way, Ben Bolch put up an apology like
the LA
maybe
Times
like 10 minutes before
article.
We talked about it yesterday?
Yeah, he did. He put up an apology about, you know, his good versus evil story. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, I watched the entire game last night to see if there would be any kind of slip-ups. And I felt like LSU handled defeat with, you know, as much class as anybody could handle it with. So good on those kids.
It's one of those things that in the perfect world, we would just be watching, you know, a basketball game. But that's just
it's not a perfect world.
As you watch that game, I don't know if it's because it's I don't feel like it's marketed that way, right? Like I don't feel like it's marketed like, but there is a sense of bad versus good, right? And
yeah,
and why is that? I mean, you know. You hate to like make it more than about sports, but we did watch a whole year of, you know, reports on Angel Reese, whatever, you know, was happening early when she wasn't playing.
True.
And it all started after she won the national championship and she put the ring up. Prior to that point, it really all that much been said. And so it's hard not to feel that bad versus good feel that game had on it. Now, I mean, I've been a defender of Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark during this situation because, as they said, they don't hate each other.
Yeah,
but
they
don't
care.
That is literally how it feels when you watch that game. And I think, you know, Paul Pierce just didn't have the right language, I guess, to massage that point in there a little bit better. He just got straight to the you know, he didn't beat around the bush at all when he was talking about it. So it's that's kind of the sports world we live in, unfortunately. And you know, whether it was Bird in the 80s, whether it was White Chocolate Jason Williams in the 2000s, there's always been that on the men's side when there's a white guy that can play.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Cream,
yes.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, you know, this conversation could go on because it, there's so many different facets to it. But when Brock Purdy is tearing apart a mostly black NFL secondary, but he look at him and go, well, he's the great white hope because he's gunning passes in there against terrific athletes. Why not?
No, because for up until maybe the last 5-6 years, that particular position has always been looked at as a Brock Purdy like position until, you know, recent years of the all of a sudden mobile quarterback. And as you've made the point of many times, you know, in today's NFL, you need one of those type of quarterbacks. They happen to look, you know, a lot like myself in that regard. And so it's kind of changed. That's why it doesn't seem like that maybe in that particular sport, because you're right. I mean, there's always been a lot more black men playing the football sport than white men. But at that particular position up until maybe 5-6 years ago, that was kind of the case.
Yeah. I mean, we do comment when there's like a white wide receiver or something like Cooper
exactly.
Cupp, like
exactly.
White safety. Eric
how about your boy? Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Like that's
running
why
back.
He's the best running back in the league. And aside from being the best running back, the first thing that most people say, oh, he's a white running back. Like, you just.
It's true.
He's pretty good
for a white running back.
he's pretty good.
I feel like it's been talked about more with Caitlin Clark and LSU and Iowa women's basketball than all the other sports combined. And I think that that's what the women are upset about. They want to just be looked upon as athletes and players.
All right. I hate to cut you guys off, but we got to get
this is a good one. We haven't had like
a debate.
Yeah. Good conversation.
There's a lot
like
to
that.
This one. That's all.
Yeah, there is.
There is.
Number two.
So I guess this happened a month ago, but I'm now just seeing this. And I also got to mark off Googling ACC swimming controversies from my bingo card. So here's where we're going with this, guys.
Oh, boy.
A swimmer's disqualification on a technicality after winning a college conference final has led to one teammate branding the decision as the quote-unquote dumbest rule in swimming. Owen Lloyd, a senior at North Carolina State, clinched North Carolina State in the news a lot for athletics.
Man, they are balling in their department. Right, somebody's getting a raise.
Seriously, they clinched the 1,650-yard freestyle title. Yeah. It's a long swim.
Okay. How many laps is that?
I don't even know. I'll have to do the calculations on my supercomputer at home. But they won in February. He was promptly stripped of his title after climbing into the adjacent lane to celebrate with teammate Ross Dant, who finished in second before the other swimmers had touched the wall. The meet's head referee implemented Rule 2, Section 5. Chris is very well familiar with that one, of the NCAA rulebook, which states that a swimmer who changes lanes during a heat shall be disqualified, leading to his disqualification. Here's what I wanted to bring is his teammate, Ross Dant.
Congratulations. On one hand, do you have any idea what happened and your emotions right now?
I think that's the dumbest rule in swimming. Owen beat me fair and square. He should be on that total podium. He was excited. That's a huge run for him, right? He earned that. He earned that, and that's his emotion, right? That's what we get in the sport of swimming when we do well. We train all year for a moment like that, and to have him disqualified, I think, is the dumbest thing ever.
Do you mind?
He works so hard every day. He is going to be on the number one trophy. I am not going to stand up there.
Do you mind if I ask you what rule did he break? We haven't even heard of up here.
Whenever you win, you're not allowed. Well, the other swimmers are still swimming. You have to stay in your own lane. You're not allowed to jump or cross over the landmine into someone's lane.
And I think you guys get the
That's ridiculous.
Here. It is ridiculous, but I'm sorry about the music in the background. It made everything a lot more dramatic.
Where'd you pull that from?
I'll just tell everyone, for some reason, History in Memes on X posted that video.
That's why you have that music.
And so they put the music behind it because it was very dramatic and heartfelt. Ross Dant, great guy. Chris, is this a dumb rule?
Signing your scorecard in golf is no longer the dumbest rule in sports.
Oh, this is the dumbest rule. Yes! Yes!
Yeah. Well, I mean, anybody knows how stupid this. I don't know where they got it from. Obviously, they don't want you gallivanting around in another lane while people are swimming. But I mean, to go over and congratulate, you know, your teammate and
who's already finished
as well. You know, too often in officiating, and this goes for when I referee basketball games, people don't use common sense in applying the rules.
Mm.
And obviously common sense could have been applied better here, but it wasn't. Somebody stuck with the
Rule 2, Section 5. Come on, Chris.
Yeah, 2, Section 5. I know.
Letter of the law, Chris. Letter of the law.
Okay, fine. Letter of the law.
I don't think you can be our referee anymore. Yeah. You're not going by the book.
Well, it's probably why I haven't been asked to referee like a CIF state final, because I don't referee to the letter of the law sometimes. I try to use common sense, and a lot of times the people in charge of that don't like that. But in this case, it's pretty ridiculous.
We're going to have to band together this next offseason to make sure Chris gets us some CIF.
We should make it our campaign.
Good luck with that.
This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, we need to. I'm so fired up over this, I can't speak, but we need to campaign for this.
Yeah, I think so. Let's start something next year.
All right. Tony, what do you think? Is this a dumb rule?
Yes.
Okay.
It's really dumb. It's. As Chris said, it is now taking the lead in the dumbest rule in all sports. Like, did he hop into a lane where there was actual swimming going on?
I don't think so. I think
he just finished.
Yeah,
right. They're celebrating.
I mean,
he just finished
a swim across the Pacific Ocean. Let him celebrate. 1,650 yards is a long way, Chris.
All the way across the Pacific Ocean.
I mean, that's basically what that is to me. All right, we are really short on time. The A's have a lot going on right now, and they're once again giving their fans a conspiracy theory to fuel them in their fire. The A's sent Esteury Ruiz down to AAA, and here's what GM David Force said. Quote, we saw some better at-bats this spring, but the reality is to use his skills, he needs to get on base. He needs to be able to do that on a consistent basis. I'm hoping leading off every day at AAA, it's not a long stay for him down there. End quote. An A's fan group brought up the fact that Ruiz and Brent Rooker had been seen wearing LDB wristbands which are known to support the A's staying in Oakland. They even were wearing them during games. So fans are thinking these two guys were punished for supporting the fan group. Can't prove any of that, of course, but that doesn't change the fact that this is just the most recent example of poor decision-making from the front office of a team who clearly does not care about winning baseball games, guys. Ruiz, by the way, in 7 ABs, had a triple, double, and a single. So, Tony, are the A's tanking even more?
No.
I don't like it when you're so down about my theories.
I mean, this is just, Asturi's probably in his 7 at-bats. He's got 3 knocks. That's awesome. But his skill set, as we saw here when he was a Padre, is getting on base, being able to cause havoc. And yes, in the 7 at-bats, 7 opportunities he's had, he's been able to do something with it. But they don't view him as a fourth outfielder. They want him to be able to be in that leadoff spot and getting on base. And so he's going to go down and work on it. He said it's not going to be a long stay for him. So he can go down there and do what he has to do. He'll be back up, and he'll probably be leading off for that team. But got to get on base. Got to be more consistent. Hey, you know what? You have to actually, earn the right to be a big leaguer, and you have to do everything right to stay a big leaguer. It's not always that easy.
Sorry to put you on the clock, Chris.
No, I just want to say one thing.
What?
I did not know the A's even had a general manager.
Okay. It wasn't John Fisher's assistant?
I did not know they even had somebody making those kinds of decisions
now you do.
On that team.
Yes, now you do. All right, that's it for the Big Five. Thanks, guys. When we get back, we're going to set you up for tonight's game against the Cardinals today, not the Giants.
Who's playing,
the Cardinals,
then
Padres and Cardinals are
very
playing.
Good.
So we'll do that when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.